Another illustration that we see is that God was Israel's king. Man, how much greater could it be that when you get ready to go into battle, you got God leading you? When you get ready to go into battle, you got God mapping out the strategy. When you get ready to go into battle, you got God's plans before you. That's what the king did. And so God's perfect will for Israel was that he be their king. Right? They said, oh, no, we don't want, we want a king. We want to be like other nations. We want a king like other nations. And then Samuel, he got upset because they didn't want God. And God said, you know what, Samuel? He said, don't worry about it. He said, they haven't rejected you. They've rejected you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of The Perfect and Permissive Will of God from our series, Answering Your Questions About the Will of God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Perfect and Permissive Will of God.
Oh, we want to continue our series that we have been dealing with. We took a two-week break, and it was much needed. Received a great response from what to do when life derails you. That just got so much feedback from that. So we thank God for how he has used his word. But we're back to dealing with the will of God. And we've been answering questions about God's will. We've been looking at God's will and talking about what does that mean? You know, if you continue on with that slide, you know, you and God's will, you and God's will. I love this verse in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Jesus Christ, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will. In all the will of God, mature and fully assured. And so we said two things come out of this verse here. One is that God has a will for your life. That I don't care who you are, how rich, how poor, what ethnic background you are from, what education level you have attained, that God has a will for your life. And that he wants you to reach the full maturity of God's will. So even as a young person, God has a will for your life. You know, don't think that, well, you know, I got to wait till I graduate from high school. I got to wait till I graduate from college. I got to wait till I go out into the world to make my mark. No. God has a will for your life, and he wants you to reach the full maturity of his will. Here are some of the questions that we've been answering. What is the will of God? We spent a whole week on that one right there and talked about this is God's purpose for your life, right? God's purposes. That God has purposes, you know, for everything, and he has a purpose for your life. So what is the will of God? Is his purpose? What has God clearly revealed in his will? And we said three things. God wants you to be saved, God wants you to be sanctified, and God wants you to be spirit-filled. And we spent a whole message on that right there. How do I discover God's will for my life? And so we talked about things that you need to put in place to discover God's will. How do you decide the will of God in gray areas? You know, we talked about things such as gambling, smoking, listening to secular music. You know, how do you discover God's will for your life in those areas? And we said that God's will is not going to be the same for everybody. It might be all right for some people to do a thing, and it might not be right for another person. So how do you decide the will of God in gray areas? We haven't got to this one yet. How do you use the word of God to find the will of God? This is where we're going to park at today, is that does God have a perfect and permissive will? Does God have a perfect and permissive will? That's what we're going to spend our time at today. And then what are some indicators that you are not in the will of God? So as we look at our message today, we're going to, as I said, park at the perfect and permissive will of God. Let us pray. Father, we come to you today, and we thank you again that we can reap the harvest. We can reap the harvest that you promised us. We can take back, Lord, that the devil has stolen our peace. The devil has stolen, Lord, our prosperity as far as living a life to the fullness. Lord, the devil has taken a lot of things. And Lord, we don't want to be like Flip Wilson and have that Flip Wilson mentality and say that the devil made me do it. We don't want to make the devil responsible for everything, because we know that there's been some things that we have yielded to him. There's some things that we have stepped out even without his influence. So, Lord, we just need to begin to take back those things. And so, Lord, we pray that this message will be one that will help us take back some of the things that Satan has stolen from us. And so, Lord, as we come today, we invite the congregation to come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. He who fed the multitudes and turned the water into wine, come and dine, the master's calling, come and dine. Feed us, Lord, now at your table, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The perfect and permissive will of God. I had the opportunity to try out for the Dallas Cowboys and the Denver Broncos back in the late 70s. And I can remember going to the various camps. Since I was a little boy, 8 years old, I played football. You know, we go back to what, there was Termite, Mighty Mites, the Midgets. And so my whole life was geared to playing football. And so when I had the opportunity to try out on the professional level, you know, I had just maybe been saved for about a year or so. And I remember telling the Lord, I said, man, Lord, I said that if you let me make professional football, that I'm not going to be a bad witness for you. I'm not going to do any commercials, Lord, that don't glorify you. I had this thing all figured out, right? I had it all planned out. And I thought to myself, you know, and I remember when I got cut from the Broncos, and I was in a hotel in Denver, and how I just thought that, you know, life pretty much was over for me, you know, because I felt that God's perfect will for my life was to play professional football. And I remember it was in Denver that the Lord spoke to my heart, broken. And the Lord had to bring me to that place of brokenness. And where I looked up and I said, okay, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And it was at that point that the Lord began to confirm in my heart, in my spirit, that he wanted me to go into the ministry. And so, you know, I struggled with that because I thought God's perfect will for my life was to play professional football. And, you know, when we think about things, you know, we can have a perfect will, something that we think is right, and God has a completely different idea and a completely different thought about what we think is right. And then, you know, I had shared that testimony many years ago, and somebody made the comment, that's back when they were having all the concussion protocols and all those things that the players back in the 70s were dealing with, and somebody made the comment, well, Pastor, maybe God spared you from those concussions and things of that nature. And I said, you know, I never thought about it that way. But that's a good way to look at it, right? That does ease the blow a little bit. But when we look at the perfect will of God, what is the perfect will of God. It's the one who walks in God's perfect will lives a life of obedience, reaches God's highest goals, and then enjoys his ultimate blessings. Now, notice I didn't say in there that your life is going to be without troubles or trials or tribulation. I didn't say that, all right? But what I am saying is that to be in God's perfect will is to live a life of obedience, to reach the highest goals that God has, and then to, you know, again, enjoy his ultimate blessings. And that doesn't, it makes no difference what you're going through. Some people may have a life where they don't have any trials or tribulation. And others may have a life where they have trials and tribulation. So that's not the determining factor. It's being obedient, living according to God's plans and purposes, and enjoying his blessings. Many define that as the perfect will of God. And so there's the permissive will of God. And what is the permissive will of God? Well, if you go back, the permissive will of God, it's almost like, now again, I'm saying some things now, and I'm going, in a few minutes, I'm going to come back and probably say something a little different, but I just want, I'm trying to lay the foundation. The permissive will of God means that the perfect will of God has been canceled out in your life, right? That you did something because of some sin or disobedience that you have canceled out the perfect will of God. Now you are living in the permissive will of God. You know, I think of a perfect example that always people bring up. And as a matter of fact, as I was studying for this message, this illustration was used several times. And that is, you know, people who marry the wrong person, right? And how that they either get married and go through a life of misery because they didn't marry the right person, right? They didn't marry that perfect person that God picked out for them. So now they're living in what? God's permissive will. Now, if you'll go back. Now, you'll notice here that this person can obtain God's blessings, but it's like second best, that you missed it. You've missed the perfect opportunity, so now you are relegated to a second best situation. And so many people define and distinguish the perfect will of God and the permissive will of God. Now, there's a controversy, right? That people have different thoughts about. Some people say there is no permissive will of God. It's only the perfect will of God. So, you know, I want to point that out, and now we can go to that next one. All right. So when we look at people who believe that there's the perfect will of God and there's the permissive will of God, these are some of the scriptures that they point to. First of all, the whole idea of divorce. You know, some people say, well, you know, God's perfect will is that there be no divorce. Jesus talked about this in Matthew 19, verses 4 and 6. Go back to Deuteronomy 24. Moses talked about divorce, right? And so God's perfect will is that no one gets divorced, all right? But then the disciples asked Jesus, well, if that's the case, who can be married, right? Because back then they were divorcing for all kind of reasons. You know, if the wife burned the food, they could get a divorce. If the wife was running out in public and her ankle happened to show, they could get a divorce. You know, they could get a divorce for any reason. And so Jesus came back and he said that, you know, from the beginning, you know, God created man and a woman, and that they were to be together for a lifetime. You know, however, because of the hardness of your hearts, God permitted divorce. So God's perfect will, no divorce. God's permissive will is that you can get divorced. Another illustration that we see is that God was Israel's king. Man, How much greater could it be that when you get ready to go into battle, you got God leading you? When you get ready to go into battle, you got God mapping out the strategy. When you get ready to go into battle, you got God's plans before you. That's what the king did. And so God's perfect will for Israel was that he be their king, right? They said, oh, no, we don't want, we want a king. We want to be like other nations. We want a king like other nations. And then Samuel, he got upset because they didn't want God. And God said, you know what, Samuel? He said, don't worry about it. He said, they haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. And so God permitted. It wasn't his perfect will, but God permitted Israel to have a king. So this is another example that people use to say that God has a perfect and God has a permissive will. The last one is a prophet named Balaam. And there was a king named Balak, and he came to this prophet named Balaam, and he said, "Yeah, I want you to go, and I want you to curse Israel. I want you to curse Israel." And so Balaam consulted the Lord in Numbers 22 and verse 12. He consulted the Lord, and the Lord said to Balaam, he said, "Don't go with Balak, and don't curse Israel. Don't go with them, and don't curse them." And so the king comes back and he says to Balaam, he says, look, you know, we're gonna give you great riches if you come with us and you curse Israel. Now, God already told him, don't go and don't curse Israel. But Balaam said, I guess when he heard about the riches that he was gonna get, he said, well, maybe God changed his mind. Let me consult with God again. And so he consults with God. And God tells him, okay, well, it's okay in Numbers 22, verses 18 through 20. He says, it's okay for you to go, but don't curse Israel. We see that God's perfect will, what he told Balaam first, don't go. And if Balaam would have shut it down there, that would have been the end of the story. He comes, and it seems strange that God would tell him, okay, you can go, but don't curse him. So we see that this actually was not God's perfect will for him to go, but was God's permissive will for him to go. So there are other scriptures that are used to show that God has a perfect and God has a permissive will. But now there are people on the other side that say, well, God does not have a permissive will. All right. And they use two arguments to say, well, no, God does not have a permissive will. The first argument is this, that God has only a perfect will. Anything else is sin and disobedience. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it talks about the perfect will of God. And it says that, and I'm going to read this in a second, but it says that the only way you can be in the perfect will of God is to live a life of obedience and holiness, right? And so these people say, well, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and, look, perfect will of God. And so what they say is that God has no permissive will. He only has a perfect will. And that the reason people come short is because of sin and disobedience. And then the second argument, which is kind of connected to the first argument, is this, that to say that God has a permissive will means that God sanctions sin and disobedience. Because if now, if you miss the perfect will of God because you did something wrong, then why would God sanction the wrong that you did and let you have his permissive will? So I'm just saying this because you can go online and you can look, and there are googobs of messages that talk about the permissive and the perfect will of God. And then there are other messages that say that God has no permissive will. So I just want to let you know. So as we look at this, the one thing that we can know for sure is this, and that God has a perfect will. There is no question that God has a perfect will. All right, so we're gonna learn something today. We're gonna learn something today. All right, so I just read this verse, but if you look at Romans 12, verse 2, the word that's highlighted is perfect, right? God has a perfect will. All right, if you go to that next slide. God has a perfect will. And then in Colossians, Epaphras, who was one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Perfect and complete. What's this word perfect mean? Let's break it down. When we look at the word perfect, it comes from the Greek word teleos. And now, in English thinking, when we think of perfect, we think of what? Flawless, faultless, impeccable. When we say something is perfect, we say that it's without flaw. You know, it's without fault. It's impeccable, all right? But that's not the meaning of the word that we just looked at, perfect. That this word, perfect, it carries with it the idea of completeness or entire. Completeness or entire. Therefore, the perfect will of God is what? Is his complete plan for a person's life. That's the perfect will of God, is his complete plan for a person's life. So the question that we want to ask this morning, not am I in the perfect will of God, not am I in the permissive will of God, but am I in the complete will of God? Ask yourself the question this morning. Am I in the complete will of God? Am I in the complete will of God for the daily time that I spend with him? Am I in the complete will of God as a husband, as a wife? Am I in the complete will of God as an employee? Am I in the complete will of God as a servant in ministry? Am I in the complete will of God? Am I doing everything that God has called me to do? Am I doing everything that God wants me to do? And if I'm doing everything that God wants me to do, I am in the complete will of God. And the complete will of God is the perfect will.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Perfect and Permissive Will of God. Audio copy of today's message, The Perfect and Permissive Will of God. You can contact us at Perfect and Permissive Will of God. That's anchoredinjesus.org, and request The Perfect and Permissive Will of God from our series, Answering Your Questions About the Will of God. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to us on Facebook at anchoredinjesus.org. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to anchoredinjesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to anchoredinjesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.